hear their nephew, Brother Patrick Aaron, come up here and preach for us, my brother. So excited to hear what God has given you for us tonight. Thank you, thank you.
Good evening. Is everybody doing okay tonight? That's good. Alrighty. So, if you got your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to Proverbs 17:17. While you are turning, the message we're going to be preaching tonight, or this thought we're going to look at, is being a godly friend, or importantly, being a Christian friend. So let's get to Proverbs 17:17. We'll start with this verse here. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Like I said, we want to preach on being a godly friend tonight. And the man in the Bible we're going to look at is Elihu, found in Job. And we're going to see how he is a godly friend to Job during his time of need. Before we move to Job, if we could flip back just a couple pages to Proverbs 14, verse 29. And with this verse, I want to keep us to keep this in the back of our heads, in our minds, as we look at Elihu in the book of Job. Proverbs 14, verse 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So let's keep that in mind as we look at the verses in Job, and we will just move right along to Job. Let's go to Job 32, verse 1. So in reading Job 32, verse 1, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. A little bit of backstory here. If you've read the book of Job, you know that basically from chapter 4 through verse 31 is Job talking to his friends that came to try to comfort him, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Let's just say they didn't do the best job of comforting Job, giving him understanding, kind words in his time of need. They did not show God to Job. Job was looking for kindness, understanding. They met him with judgment, condemnation, and criticism. And right here, this verse 1, these three men ceased to answer Job. Basically, the conversation has stopped between Job and his three friends because they're basically angry with each other. They don't know how to help him. To their credit, they did show up to Job in his time of need. They sat with him 7 days in the ashes without saying a word. They probably would have been good enough just to do that, based on the advice that they were trying to give him. They made things worse for Job. I believe that they provoked him to sin because he was having to constantly defend himself against them. So during their dialogue, we can look through, and we don't have time to read all of it tonight, but Job feels lonely. His friends are not, he doesn't feel like he's got anybody to talk to. His friends are, you know, they're not helping him. God's not talking to him at this time, and he just feels all alone. Just a few verses that I want to read to us just to kind of show us how Job feels during this time with this dialogue with his three friends. If we will turn to Job 16, verse 20 real quick, and we'll just read a couple of these. Job 16, verse 20, my friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. We'll move to Job 19, and we'll look at verse 14 and 19 in this verse, or in this chapter. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. And Job 19:19, all my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. Job doesn't feel any type of love from his friends here. I believe that Job's friends here are a type of the world, and we shouldn't look to the world for answers. He wants answers from God, but he turns to his friends that have not, they don't have anything good to say about God. All they can think about is Job had to have sinned for this to happen to him. They can't get that out of their minds that, you know, God is sovereign, things happen for a reason. We know all things work together for good, you know, to them that serve Christ. So I want to go back to chapter 32, knowing a little bit of backstory about Job with his three friends and the dialogue between them. And then we're going to look at verse 2. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. In verse 3, also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. So Elihu does not like the fact that these three men here have done nothing to help Job. They've made things worse. They've condemned him and provoked Job to sin because he justified himself rather than God during all this. And you got to understand, Elihu is the youngest of the four. Let's see, Job, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and Elihu. So Job's the youngest out of all these men. And back in that time, you did not speak out against your elders. And he waited. He gave them, I think, ample opportunities to try to lead Job in the right direction here. He sees that they're not getting it done, and he sees a stalemate between Job and his friends, and he decides to interject what he thinks is going on. And if we'll look, I got a couple things here that I want us to think about as far as being a godly friend with this. Number one, in Elihu's behalf, I believe he is a godly friend to Job, because if we look at Job 42, verse 7, let's go over there. This is at the end of the book here. And so Job 42, verse 7, it says, "And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath." Right there, we don't see Elihu's name mentioned in God's judgment on these three friends. That's probably the easiest point we can make as to why Elihu was a godly friend. I also want to look at another reason, and if we stay in verse 42, verse 7, we know that when we are born again, when we're saved, we become a new creature, and we love the things that God loves, and we hate the things that God hates. And one thing that I found very interesting here was in verse 7, the Lord said unto Eliphaz, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. And if we go back to where Elihu comes in this book of Job, to verse 2 in chapter 32, then was kindled the wrath, it's 32 verse 3. And also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. So we see that Elihu and God have very similar feelings towards these friends. And I believe that shows that Elihu has some God in him, God living inside him, to have these same feelings as God does. Lastly, I believe that Elihu, being the youngest out of these men, no doubt looked up to Job as a mentor, as a person that he wanted to model his life after, because he saw Job's walk with God. I believe he, you know, noticed everything that Job had, what he had with God, and he wanted that. I think this created a love towards Job from Elihu, and that is why he has interjected what he thinks here, because he loves Job. He doesn't want to see him suffering like this. If we look all the way back to Job verse 1, or chapter 1, I don't want you to have to turn there. I'll turn there really quick. But we know that Job is probably a very powerful member in the community based on his walk with God, the riches God has blessed him with. And not only that, but we also see that Job probably prays, interjects, and offers sacrifices on behalf of people in his community because of his walk with God. So in Job chapter 1 verse 5 it says, "And so it was so when the days of the feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." We see that he offers offerings on behalf of his family. If we go over here, we can go back to chapter 42, and we'll look at verse number 8 now. And right here we see what God is telling Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. "Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to thy servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly." So here I also see another point to make, that Job does pray for his friends, his family, his community, and he offers, you know, he sends prayers up to heaven, so to speak, for people that he loves. And I would venture to guess maybe he's probably done that for Elihu a couple of times, and that's why we see Elihu being such a good friend of Job, offering kind words, love and understanding, rather than judgment, condemnation, and criticism. So, and the last point I want to make here tonight with this is, if we notice, we got to go back just a couple chapters to verse 38. Now this is right after Elihu has said to Job what he wanted to say to him. And once we get to chapter 38, we're going to look at verse number 1. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." So if we are godly friends, if we're Christian friends, we can plant a seed, and God can do with that seed as he needs to. We notice right after Elihu speaks to Job, then God comes to Job at that time. He's talking to him again, offering what he needs to tell Job and his friends and dealing with them. But we see Elihu is kind of like a precursor to God coming and speaking to Job. And as we go out in the world, no doubt school is starting for children, if it's not started already for most of them. And we go out into our workplace, we got friends, we see people every day that need God. If we are a godly friend, if we offer love and understanding, we will ultimately plant a seed for God to grow as he sees fit, and, you know, touch lives through us, through works that we have done just to offer kindness to people. One other verse, and I'll be closing tonight. And you don't have to turn here, but Proverbs 18:24, "A man that has friends must show himself friendly, And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So if you are kind to people, if you are a godly friend, if you are a Christian friend, show, you know, people can see Christ inside of you. They can see something different. They can ultimately know Jesus, who sticketh closer than any brother. We will, as good of a Christian friend as you could be to people, and I've got a lot of good Christian friends that I thank God for, we cannot possibly be there for our friends at every situation because we're human, but God can. God can be there. Jesus can be there. He sticketh closer than a brother. And I just want us to think of that tonight. As we go out tomorrow, like I said, school's starting back. Children, you probably are in one of the hottest mission fields in America right now in the schools. A lot of kids don't get to hear you preaching. They don't know about Jesus. And if you can offer kind words to them, it could do great things for them. And that's what I want to close on. So, Pastor.